On this abstract question of slavery there can, as I think, be but one opinion. Planters who have money to make by it, clergymen who have planters to please, politicians who want to rule by it, may warp and bend language and ethics to a degree that shall astonish the world at their ingenuity. They can press nature and the Bible, and nobody knows what else, into the service. But, after all, neither they nor the world believe in it one particle the more. It comes from the devil, that's the short of it. And to my mind it's a pretty respectable specimen of what he can do in his own line. Miss Ophelia stopped her knitting and looked surprised, and St. Clair, apparently enjoying her astonishment, went on. "You seem to wonder, but if you will get me fairly at it, I'll make a clean breast of it. This cursed business, accursed of God and man, what is it? Strip it of all its ornament, run it down to the root and nucleus of the whole, and what is it? Why, because my brother Quashy is ignorant and weak, and I am intelligent and strong, because I know how and can do it. Therefore I may steal all he has, keep it, and give him only such and so much as suits my fancy. Whatever is too hard, too dirty, too disagreeable for me, I may set Quashy to doing. Because I don't like work, Quashy shall work. Because the sun burns me, Quashy shall stay in the sun. Quashy shall earn the money, and I will spend it. Quashy shall lie down in every puddle that I may walk over dry shod. Quashy shall do my will, and not his, all the days of his mortal life, and have such chance of getting to heaven, at last, as I find convenient. This I take to be about what slavery is. I defy anybody on earth to read our slave code as it stands in our law books, and make anything else of it. Talk of the abuses of slavery! Humbug! The thing itself is the essence of all abuse, and the only reason why the land don't sink under it, like Sodom and Gomorrah, is because it is used in a way infinitely better than it is. For pity's sake, for shame's sake, because we are men born of women and not savage beasts, many of us do not and dare not. We would scorn to use the full power which our savage laws put into our hands. And he who goes the furthest and does the worst only uses, within limits, the power that the law gives him. St. Clair has started up, and, as his manner was when excited, was walking, with hurried steps, up and down the floor. His fine face, classic as that of a Greek statue, seemed actually to burn with the fervor of his feelings. His large blue eyes flashed, and he gestured with an unconscious earnestness. Miss Ophelia had never seen him in this mood before, and she sat perfectly silent. "I declare to you," said he, suddenly stopping before his cousin, "it's no sort of use to talk or to feel on this subject, but I declare to you there have been times when I have thought, if the whole country would sink, and hide all this injustice and misery from the light, I would willingly sink with it."
"Class war, class war, class war."
"Now, Jim, show this gentleman how you can dance and sing."
My attitude towards the Western powers: if you want to say there's no rules, fine. Don't go crying for your mummy when that comes.
America today finds herself in a unique situation. She's the only country in history in a position to become involved in a bloodless revolution.
If America does not respond creatively to the challenge to banish racism, some future historian will have to say that a great civilization died because it lacked the soul and commitment to make justice a reality for all men.
When the system doesn't work for the majority of the people, you gotta change the system.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vladimir Deese, and welcome to a Class War Battlefield podcast, coming to you live from everything you hold sacred. Let's get started. As you can tell, I'm kind of resurrecting the old way I did things a little bit. I like it. You know, that informal way of starting off the episode. You know, I still have my introduction, my regular introduction, but this is kind of where I'm more comfortable at. Free thinking. Now, I want to start off this podcast by saying something that I don't know if I've ever said to you before, but I'll say it now. I'm going into this with no idea of what I want to talk about. I have so much going on in my mind right now that I'm almost going to allow a freestyle of sort to come out of me because I think it's necessary. Now, on my Twitter page, I've been talking a lot about the capitalist plantation. On my Facebook page, I've been talking a lot about the confusing times that we're finding ourselves in. And in my personal life, I've been doing a lot of soul searching. Like many of you, I'm looking at the 2012 thing and I'm saying, okay, is this real or is it not? Personally, myself, there's been this inkling in me for as long as I can remember, actually. The first time when I remember this inkling coming over me, I was in third grade. And I was looking at 2012 and I said, I'll be 30, and I couldn't wait to get there. I didn't know why, but I knew that it was going to be an important time period. So like many of you, I'm eager to see the shift. And like many more of you, I'm horrified to see the shift that's happening within our country. Something horrible is indeed happening within our country. As I said, I've been writing about the confusing times in this nation, and what is pretty evident to me is that the confusing times are going to get worse. And it's time that we acknowledge that. It's time that we come together in our minds and we acknowledge that. It's time that we shut off the TVs. We stop pretending that life is going on. It's time that we stop living in illusion. Or should I say delusionary measures? Because the reality is, I was recently reading a book and the author pointed out, an illusion is something that you project onto somebody that you want to see, but it's not reality. A delusion is where you have a conflict with that reality that you want to see, and or the reality that you should see, and what the other person is pushing towards you. So most people in relationships right now have a delusionary nature going on. They don't want to see the problems that exist. They just want to see the good that the person's putting out to them. So we have this kind of thing going on with life right now. We're in patterns, you know, we're coming up on football season, so everyone is big on football now. You know, people who love baseball, they're looking forward to the pennant race coming up. And everyone wants to talk about that as if there's nothing going on. We're coming up on the presidential election, and everybody wants to talk about that in the same language that they've been talking about the presidential elections for the last 20, 30, 40 years now. As if nothing is different. So it's time that we break out of that as citizens. We must break out of that. We continue to act like there's a triangular battle going on in this country. Progressives versus liberals versus conservatives. When in reality, we need to understand something. All of these terms, except for progressivism, originate from a time period before capitalism was the main economic engine. Progressivism actually came about because of capitalism. Most progressives don't even know that. While poor white people talked about progressivism as being this thing that we're moving towards, human rights and things like that on the ground,
Rich people didn't talk about progressivism like that. Rich people talked about progressivism in this way. Progressivism was a means of pushing on the enclosure movement in America and driving it into communities where they were hostile towards it. It was, in essence, integrating, incorporating all of those areas within the United States into this new capitalistic reorganization of the economy. I was listening to a book a lot, actually, towards the last part of last year. I listened to it maybe 3 or 4 times, and it was about the underground history of education, public education, should I say, and it. The author made a hell of a statement and didn't go into it, and it's driving me crazy that he didn't go into it. He said that, and dang, the name is, J.P. Morgan, I believe it was J.P. Morgan he mentioned, had reorganized the American economy at the turn of the century. That's the 1800s into the 1900s. And he didn't go into it. And my mind has been running rampant thinking about that for the last 8-9 months now, because we don't tend to have a conversation on how our economy got the way that it got. It just kind of naturally happened to most of us. But it didn't. Nothing ever naturally happens. That's not the way things go. So, with that in mind, that the economy didn't naturally happen, we must realize now that what is happening to the economy is also not naturally happening. Just like the economy didn't naturally occur, it is not naturally transitioning into what needs to be called what it is. It is a fascist economic system, which, by the way, there were many people in the early 1900s said, they wrote about this, they said that capitalism only has one way to go. It's going to ultimately lead to fascism, where the companies, the corporations, will ultimately eat the government. Why? Because the government has always been the source of nutrition for the capitalistic system anyway. So the people within the system who are arguing, the liberals, who don't necessarily want the system to go away. And I know the media propagates this differently, because they blur the line between classical liberalism, which was a return to cooperative style, artisan ran economic structures, localization in essence, and neoliberalism, which is, well, just tweak the system, but keep the system intact. And most suburbans are these neoliberals. Most suburbans fall into this category of neoliberalism. And then you have your conservatives, which classical conservatism had more to do with authoritarianism, had less to do with rights for all people. It had more to do with centralized power structure, less checks on power. And then the neoconservative movement, which some could argue, but it's not a good argument that they could make, had to do with civil liberties, because truthfully, the civil liberties that they were talking about only had to do with one group of people. Usually they were white. So this is the reality. This is the reality. So you have in the system, as always with the election, you have the conservatives versus the liberals versus the progressives, and then you have the reality, because all of these people are fighting from within parameters that a large part of the population don't see. They don't understand. They don't comprehend, because they're not experiencing it. It is amazing to me. I listen to a lot of progressive and liberal and and once in a while, conservative media. It's difficult sometimes to listen to conservative media because they seem to be living in an entirely different delusionary state. And maybe not even delusionary anymore. These people are the American dreamers. They're living in an illusionary state. And, of course, they sink further into that illusion as that illusion becomes more and more tolerable, maybe is the word that I want to use, to the realities around them. It starts letting in that reality starts leaking in, and they start losing their minds because they can't comprehend what's going on. Well, I listen to a lot of this stuff, and it amazes me the amount of middle-class people who are actually putting this stuff out there. It amazes me. And when I'm saying middle-class, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking about, you know, the government's definition of middle class. I'm talking about middle class people who are making, sometimes, not always, I think they were used to making this kind of money at one time in their lives. You know, they're making $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. Not all of them. So if any of you listen to this and say, well, I'm definitely not making that, you know, then glory be to you. But a lot of you are. You may not be making it now, but you come from that privilege. So a lot of these liberals and progressives, they don't necessarily see the reality that somebody like me sees. I'm on the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, I have not made more than $20,000 a year, and I believe that most of you know where I'm coming from when I talk about that. I haven't made more than $20,000 a year. Heck, I don't even know if I've made more than $18,000 a year. And I know there's a lot of you out there that can understand where I'm coming from when I say that. So when poor people like us start talking about liberalism and conservatism, we need to keep in mind that the people who we're getting these labels from are not like us. And I'm not saying that that's a negative. I'm saying that we need to keep in mind that our definitions need to be slightly altered than what theirs are. And we need to push those definitions into their minds because they need to be speaking truth for us. Middle class people do not like to wallow in poverty. And by wallowing, I don't mean that they don't like to give up everything they have to be impoverished. I mean that they don't like to be surrounded in it and meshed in it. And for the few of you who do, I applaud you. But you don't, the liberals and the progressives who are talking, you don't know what true poverty is. Because you don't know it. You don't have to know it. I invite you, you know, there's going to come a time when I suppose I'll definitely be able to do this, when I'll invite you all to come with me for these walks, for walks through impoverished areas. Sit down as I'm trying to get together coalitions of impoverished people, because this is how true change is going to take place. The government is not working for the people right now, and this is the solemn truth. A few months ago, I started doing research on, and I mentioned this in a podcast, on this thing called the reinvention of government. I laugh every time when I hear that, because the if you take the first letters of all those words, it spells rig. R-I-G. So it's kind of ironic that they were rigging the government through this mechanism of reinventing it, which is kind of scary altogether. But what these individuals did, and it's odd that most progressives and liberals don't know this, but I think they're blind ignorance, and I don't know, I probably can't even call it ignorance, because they don't know to look for it, I guess. Then again, the question becomes, why don't they know to look for it? Obviously, government has been reorganized some way, somehow. Anyway, what they wanted to do in this movement to reinvent government was to make it work better for companies. You know, back in the 80s, the biggest thing And I still get it today when I talk to people who were big Reaganites, was to make the U.S. government work like a company. Which, to me, doesn't even make sense, because a company's objective is far different than what the U.S. government's objectives are. The government has to serve a constituency. It has to. It also has to find ways to get more bang for its buck. A company does not have to serve a set constituency and does not have to get more bang for its buck. Actually, it is considered more successful if it finds a way to cut costs and make more money. Now, I guess actually, that's actually a false statement about the U.S. government, because the U.S. government does have, the U.S. government doesn't necessarily have to serve the constituency in which I ultimately meant. I was thinking the general public. When in reality, it's been argued many times before, and I think it's a pretty good argument, that the U.S. government's constituency, its main constituency, has always been big business. It's kind of, with the New Deal, I think government got siphoned off a little bit for the regular people, and you started seeing a pattern where regular people were getting more and more of the government, and big business didn't like that. Big business couldn't handle that. They couldn't stomach it. So now we are at a stage in governmental reorganization that is so stark that it almost reaches into the heart of every person and says, what you have believed about your country is now incorrect. It's wrong. And even Barack Obama, the patron saint of liberalism right now, who is a conservative, it needs to be admitted, he is a conservative, he has always been a conservative, and he only looks liberal because the Republicans are basically, in essence, fascists and theologists. Or theocrats, excuse me, not theologists, but theocrats. Even he got up there and said, I believe it was his 2010 State of the Union. He made a statement that George W. Bush made, and that I believe Bill Clinton made before him, that he was going to help to reorganize government in a way that was more massive and expansive than had been done in the last, like, 50 years or something like that. He said this. All of the people in the White House for the last 30 years has taken a page from Ronald Reagan. They are reorganizing and restructuring the government for corporate purposes. Government is in essence becoming Government Inc. My God, when you start hearing presidents talk about government Google, which by the way, only owes its existence to government funding, because the main parts of the internet were given to Google. You know, all of the search engine criteria and what have you were given to Google. We are living in confusing times when the government doesn't even know who it serves. It keeps purporting that it serves the public good, and yet everything that it does says that it serves the corporate good, the corporate state, as it were, as Chris Hedges likes to say. But because of this confusion, and because people are living in this delusionary state because they don't want to see it, because they don't really truthfully want to call it what it is, there has been a corporate coup. I keep hearing, I've heard several people say it, but there has been a corporate coup. 2000, there was a huge corporate coup. But because of this, people are becoming more and more psychologically fragmented and deranged. people who have bought into for the last 70 years this thing called the American dream are being hit over the head with reality. You don't count. What we have been telling you has been a lie. See, and this is where I'm going to talk about race. Black people, we've always known it. We've known it. We've known that it was a lie. We understood the concept of a dream. A dream is something that you got to wake up from. They didn't say the American reality. They said the American dream. We've known the reality. White folks, particularly the ones that were ushered into the middle class, they ate it up. Oh, we're better than them over there. We're better than those blacks. We're better than those Latinos. We're better than those natives. We're better than those Asians. We're better than those white, poor, trash people over there. We're better than all of them. Because you other white people who have all this money, you tell us that. This is one thing that liberals and progressives can't handle. White liberals and progressives, they can't handle this truth. But when they keep talking about saving the middle class, what they are essentially saying is, we want it to return to the way that it used to be. That's what they're talking about. That's what they've been talking about. The middle class, well, if you want to build the middle class, ladies and gentlemen, guess what? The middle class was a rouge. Rich people used the building of the middle class to stop the creeping socialism in this country, because socialism, despite what they keep telling you, is not some evil system that takes what is yours and makes it everybody's. No. What socialism says is, if you are going to have a company in a community, you must be accountable to that community. You must do things that are ethical. You must do things that are conscious. You must do things that will ultimately not only benefit you, but will benefit that community. And that means paying people a living wage. That means not dumping radioactive material when you know that you have the technology to clean it up. When you have the technology to make it non-radioactive, to break it down, to make it into reusable products. It means that the government would have to rechange its priorities from warfare to welfare. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do one thing today, please do this for me. Look up the word welfare. What does it mean? It's not what you actually think it means. Welfare is something that you want in a society. It is not something that you chastise in a society. It is something that you want and you desire and you need, because without welfare, your society degrades into conflict as we are doing now. So, black people have known this. White people, they ate it up because it made them feel better. And now, today, liberals and progressives can't get it through their mind why the power elite don't care about them. Because the power elite never cared about them. You are a tool. Get it through your mind. Sit down and meditate on it. You were a tool. And that's all you've ever been. These people care so much about you that they set you against people with your own interests. The creeping socialism that I mentioned was not something that black people imposed on white folks. It was something that white folks said, you know, this seems like a good idea. Capitalism failed in the Depression. We need something that's going to replace capitalism. You know, speaking of that, I recently was listening to a podcast and I heard a woman say that there seems to be nothing that is on the horizon to replace capitalism. Yet capitalism is clearly failing, or transitioning, as some people might say. I say she's wrong. The reason why the police state is starting to get incredibly oppressive is because the rich and the powerful are afraid of one thing. That people are going to start uniting to create the structures in which they need to actually survive. And that's a whole nother thing that I have to get into sometime. But socialism, which I am not advocating right now because we're not ready for it. People's minds can't handle it. Socialism was the start and should be the start of an incredible conversation. First and foremost, why is it that a word with the term social in it is so demonized? I wrote on my Twitter feed a while back there that the corporate elite, or the elite, however you want to call them, they will ultimately take language of liberation and they will corrupt it for their own good. So that words such as, or philosophy such as socialism, which is something that would broadly distribute human rights throughout this country and broadly curtail this the corporate state and state government and force both entities to be responsive to people. I mean, the reality is corporations would go away under socialism. Not because we would not be able to have private enterprises, we will not be able to have private businesses, no, but because those corporations would have to change into cooperatives or collaboratives or whatever we care to call them. Corporations are a capitalistic feature. You don't want them to stay around if you were going to shift your economic system. Because they would ultimately do what they've always done, which is suck up resources and kill whatever they're part of. You do not want any part of cancer in your body. But so the corporate elite could also take something like communitarianism, which ideally would be localized factories and what have you, maybe federated. And they could corrupt it into something like Project 21, which, whether true or not, which there's a lot of evidence suggesting that it is true, and if you don't know what it is, check it out. There's a lot of things that I used to think were absolutely lunacy. But now the evidence is emerging that says they're not lunacy, they're actually right. And the people who were yelling about them 20 years ago and were dismissed and said that they were crazy lunatics, they were, quote, conspiracy theorists, as if there's never been conspiracies in this nation, or this world for that matter. Those people are turning out to be right. Those people are turning out to be right. And we need to understand that. So I suppose I'm going to get ready to wrap this up. I covered a lot of bases here. What we need to realize, and this is ultimately the most important thing that I can say, what we need to realize is the economic system is shifting. The regular paradigms that we usually argue in are not going to work unless we truthfully radicalize them. And let me remind you, because I say it often, but I don't say it often enough, radical means to get to the root of something. It should pop into your mind automatically this one question. Why is it then that the government was so against radicals? Why is it then that conservatives are so against radicals? As conservatives, as people who ultimately want to conserve supposedly civil liberties, should they not then want to get to the actual root, the point of where these civil liberties began and where they were lost? Of course they should. But like I said, conservatives are confused these days. The paradigms aren't going to work. I would again say to the white middle class, sit down, meditate on white privilege, and realize something. You have been misused. You have been misinformed. They, the power elite, the 1%, whatever you want to call them, they have used you as a tool. It's time that you realize that, because the police state, which has existed within black communities for an awful long time, which you have turned a blind eye to for an awful long time, they don't care about you. And now, the police state is starting to see you as the enemy. I likened what's happening with the police state to, I can't think of the actual name of the disease within the body, but what the white blood cells first see an organ as a problem. So it starts attacking that organ. And it may kill that organ. Kind of like police have beaten a lot of the power out of black people. But then after a while, after they've killed that organ, they turn their lust onto something else within the body. Then they turn their lust onto something else until ultimately they even start seeing the red blood cells as problematic. And they start turning on the red blood cells. That's kind of what's happening now. Realize it. Embrace it. As always, I say to you, you can contact me at classwarbattlefieldpodcast@live.com. Please follow me on Twitter. While I do have a Class War Battlefield Twitter feed, I don't use it as much as I do this other one, and that would be Peaceful, P-E-A-C-E, underscore, or excuse me, F-U-L, underscore, S-O-J-O-U-R. And for those of you wondering, the reason why I spell my soldier that way is because I'm a peaceful sojourner. And I understand that ultimately sojourners who come from the spirit realm must come here to help elevate mankind. So that's what I'm here to do. Stay strong in the struggle, my people. Things are about to get a lot worse before they get better. Hopefully, though, we can head that off. Peace and love.
You might ask what it takes to remember when you know that you've seen it before. Where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. And there's a shadow on the faces of the men who sent the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone. And there are lives in the balance.
Thank you.